Coming up on this edition of the Bull Zone, we're going to discuss the 500 Chicago Bulls and their ninth standings in the Eastern Conference, as well as the playoffs that are just around the corner, and the future this summer. What can we expect possibly this summer from the Chicago Bulls team? Stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bull Zone. I am Jason Hall, here with you to discuss the Bulls and this 2015-16 season that just won't go away. We've discussed in the past about basketball hell and what it meant. I think we were a little bit misguided before because absolutely this year has been basketball hell. Injuries have played a significant role in this team being 32-32 right now. That's good enough for ninth in the Eastern Conference. Not where I think any Bulls fan pictured this team to be at the start of the year. We are all talking title contention, Eastern Conference finals at the very least against the Cavaliers. And would Fred Hoiberg be able to lift this offense, which struggled at times last year? You remember kind of those scoring droughts of 4 or 5 minutes through Tibbs. And Fred Hoiberg was supposed to come in here and he was supposed to fix all that. High hopes. And this was all given to us by none other than Gar Forman. Now you fast forward to the 65th game of the year, and we have Derrick Rose will be out tonight. Jimmy Butler will be out tonight, and Pau Gasol will be out. Those are your top three scorers. And Jimmy Butler may play. He's questionable, but he's got that lingering knee issue that we really don't know how long it's going to take for him to get back to full strength. So Bulls, without their top three scorers, will be looking at starting a guy, maybe Cristiano Felicio, with Etuan Moore, Taj Gibson, Mike Dunleavy, and newly acquired Justin Holiday. Just thinking about that, that being the Bulls starting lineup at the 65th game of this season when we had hopes of Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, quite honestly, that hope isn't all lost just yet. I mean, the Bulls are right outside of the playoff picture right now. Jimmy Butler has been struggling with injuries. Derrick Rose misses every 5 or 6 games, it seems like, lately with some sort of tendonitis throughout his body. Pau Gasol is dealing with some issues himself. You know, if healthy, we always say that, but I who knows what would happen in the playoffs. I just don't see this team becoming healthy enough to make a nice run into the playoffs, which really, really hurts their chance moving forward to kind of have a more of a rebuilding mode. You look at the history of Gar Packs and what they do throughout the offseason, and it's not much. Pau Gasol comes in. Kirk Heinrich has come in. Other than that, you really don't see any significant pieces being signed by the Bulls and put into a direct line of rotation. All they do is through the draft. And if you're talking that they want to build through the draft, making the playoffs and being a first-round exit really isn't doing you much justice. As well as the Kings continuing to lose and hurting the Bulls' chances of getting a 11th or worse pick, but at least having two first-round picks in this year's upcoming draft. So Bulls making the playoffs hurts their chances moving forward because with all the injuries that this team has faced this year, we all know Gar is going to make that excuse. Hey, the Bulls, you know, this roster is a really talented roster. You know, we really have a good group of guys. We really feel that we are a talented group, but injuries last season really cost us. We're going to give this group another run. I can see that being the media day opening press conference from Gar Forman, and which really sucks because I don't understand where the fear lies in these guys to actually make some sort of a change. You don't make any moves in the trade deadline. You turn down deals for Pau Gasol, who is he's a scorer. He puts the ball in the basket. He's who he is on the court. We've bitched and griped and moaned about his defense and his lack of rotations and his lack of communication, and then his boring interviews that we have to listen to about how the team's not communicating on defense and not rotating when basically he needs to look in the mirror. The Bulls needed to move him. They needed to move him for anything. Just to be able to move forward. I feel like since he has come to this team, they've really kind of gone downhill. Carlos Boozer, for God's sake, was a better teammate and had more chemistry within that locker room than when Pau Gasol came here. And it basically seemed that it kind of split up at the time. You had Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose camp versus Jimmy Butler, Pau Gasol camp. If that's, you know, if that's 100% true, then fine. I get it. I can see the disconnect there. You can see it within this team and how they've been performing. But if it's not true, then what's really going on? What's up with the locker room? What's going on with the disconnect, the lack of communication? I think it all goes back to when Tom Thibodeau was basically, it was announced that this was going to be his last season. The Bulls would be moving on, firing him, and that Fred Hoiberg would be the replacement for him. That put this team's mindset in, hey, we're getting rid of our coach. We don't have to play hard for him. We're going to have a new guy next year. It's going to be a lot easier, more laid back. We're talented. We're going to get this thing done. We can coast through practices. We can cruise through. We don't have to listen to the coach as much. We're talented enough to win games on our own. And that's what you're seeing right now. You're seeing a team that thinks that they're talented, that they're more talented than the guys on the other side of the court. You see it when they play the lesser teams in the NBA, the less talented teams, I guess you could say, roster-wise, not record-wise, because a lot of teams in the NBA now hold a better record than the Bulls. But you see that lack of motivation, the going through the motions, very boring, laid-back style of basketball that's very not exciting to watch at all. I think the San Antonio Spurs are more exciting now than the Chicago Bulls. They might be one of the most boring teams within the NBA. So with all this being said, what are the chances that the Bulls can make a nice run? On the flip side of things, can they make a nice run? Yeah, it's the Eastern Conference. If the Bulls can make a nice little playoff run, if they can get healthy, turn this switch on that we've all been waiting for. We've seen this team be successful against the better teams in the NBA. We know that they have talent. We know that they're a good team. I think that's the most frustrating thing, is sitting here watching games and wondering who are you watching on the screen, because this isn't the team I saw last night. It's the inconsistency that continues to be a nightmare for this fan base watching this team. And the players know it. The players have to know it. But once you get into a certain mentality, a certain mindset that you can flip the switch on, that the playoffs are 20 games away, it's very hard for guys at this caliber, at this level, to realize that, hey, you can't flip the switch on. You can't cruise through. Every game might not matter in the regular season, but they damn well are close to mattering every single game. A majority of those games matter as far as win-loss-wise. And as far as win-loss-wise, yes, but I think the thing that matters the most is the effort that you put in each game. Every single game is what matters throughout the regular season, is that effort. And that's something that Tom Thibodeau would preach to this team, that he would get beat up for by the media, by fans. He'd be on a crucifix. And Fred Hoiberg's getting free passes here for playing Jimmy Butler, but 38, I think, minutes after having that significant knee injury that looked like he maybe tore his ACL. And there hasn't been a word about it. He's getting a pass from everybody because there's bigger issues here. Everything is now not the coach's fault. Everything is now, according to the fan base and in most of the media outlets, the front office. So if they can get healthy, if they can start playing at a higher level of basketball, and they move themselves into the playoff picture, and let's say they get the seventh seed, and they face off against Toronto, because I don't see them getting higher than seven. They're 4.5 games back right now of Charlotte and Atlanta, who are tied for the fifth, sixth spot. Charlotte isn't great. Atlanta is kind of like the Bulls. They're a talented group. They're not playing up to their potential, but I don't see them dropping games, and I just don't see the Bulls making a big enough push going into this thing to be able to make up a gap of five games with under 20 games remaining in the season. So you have a first round matchup versus Toronto, a team that the Bulls match up with very well, a team that is playing well, that the Bulls actually face off against tonight here. I'm recording Monday morning. And I like that matchup. That's probably the matchup I like the most in the whole entire Eastern Conference for the first round for the Bulls. Let's say they do that. Let's say they get to the seventh spot, facing off against Toronto, and they get out of there. And then you're going to be dealing with the winner of the Atlanta-Boston. Atlanta, another team that I like the Bulls against. Boston, not so much. They do scare me a lot. In a seven-game series, I think the Bulls roster overcomes both of those teams. I really strongly feel like with a healthy bunch, Jimmy Butler's when he gets back, Pau Gasol rest up a little more. Derrick Rose continues to take these games off, because at this point, the Bulls need Derrick Rose as healthy as possible in that playoff push if they want to make something good out of this season. First round exit out of the playoffs is not something that we want to watch. So if they do get past Toronto, if they do play against the winner of Boston and Atlanta, if that's the way the standings stay, I really like their chances. I do. I think with three guys of Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Pau Gasol, Doug McDermott coming into his own here, you got guys like Bobby Portis that have been playing significant minutes. Cristiano Felicio doesn't suck. Justin Holiday is a nice replacement and an upgrade over Kirk Heinrich. Aaron Brooks is horrible. Mike Dunleavy is back, and he's starting to stroke the three. Who knows? Seriously. It's not out of the realm of possibilities that we can watch this team get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think anything short of that, anything at all short of that, if they do make the playoffs, is a lost year for us fans. It's just a waste. And it's not championship or bust right now, because we all know that the Golden State Warriors are the you might as well just hand them the trophy right now. They are the best team in basketball. They are the best team in the NBA, and quite possibly will have the best record in NBA history this year. You can't compete with that. You really can't. So I feel personally like the Bulls making the Eastern Conference Finals and this year, after everything the Bulls have been through, it gives them some potential. Now, I don't know. I'm a Bulls fan. I don't know how many of you out there want that to happen, because that just gives Gar Foreman more ammo to keep this roster as is and make some slight changes, when in fact everyone knows another year of Pau Gasol, Taj Gibson, Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, Mike Dunleavy starting five for the Chicago Bulls. These guys, it's almost like these guys are tired of playing with each other and they need to change the scenery. I don't see Pau as much as he talks about it. And as much as he says the Bulls are number one on his radar, I don't see him returning next year. I see him going back to the Western Conference to a real title contender. I think possibly Memphis to play with his brother. The Bulls are saying that they want to bring him back, but in reality, I think maybe in the background, they're kind of hoping that Powell signs a bigger deal somewhere else, and they don't have to worry about it. Then you got Joakim Noah that you can bring back for a lot less money than it would be to bring back Pau Gasol. And I think Joakim Noah fits this locker room and fits this Fred Hoiberg type style of offense a lot better, with getting out and running and pushing the pace that has been pushed a little bit this year. But the offensive efficiency that's come from that push hasn't been so great. So the Bulls need some more scores. The Bulls need, and I said, no, I'm saying this with Pau Gasol leaving and Joakim Noah staying, because that's the complete opposite. But Pau is not, he's just not going to last much longer. He's not going to be able to get out and run. His pick and roll offense with Derrick Rose or even Jimmy Butler is a thing of beauty. But the Bulls just need to move on from that. He's not a defensive team player, does not rotate. He is just He's not a guy that I want on this roster moving forward. Then I will be a very happy person if he's gone. I also think Taj Gibson gets moved because having Taj Gibson as a starting power forward on this team is everybody over the years has wanted. We see him now. He's the grunt brute guy down low. But he's not putting up the numbers that you really would expect when guys like Power out or Jimmy's out. You know, you need your guys, your starting players to step up and put up some more points and really be more of a focal point in the offense. And when Pau Gasol is out, Taj Gibson's not really doing that. He's more just doing game in, game out, the same exact thing. And I think the Bulls can upgrade there as a starting power forward as well as a starting center over Pau Gasol. Even if you want to bring back Joe and put him back as a center, and then you get a nice all-star caliber power forward to come in here and to really do some damage for this Bulls team. I really think that that's a position that is, we started out with Nico Mirotic. That didn't work out. Would possibly Bobby Portis be able to fill in the shoes for Taj Gibson? Absolutely, but I still think the Bulls, if they're serious about making a title run while Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler are in their serious prime, I really think that a power forward upgrade is needed as well as a small forward. These are things that are not going to happen in the draft. Are these things that are going to happen via free agency? I don't know. That's why possibly a Taj move would help some of these teams that have a lower or a higher draft pick potentially would maybe trade some picks with Taj Gibson for the Bulls to be able to move up in the draft to get a real star caliber player. And maybe that might be the smartest thing to do because that's not a lot of money on the books. It's a young player that's kind of rebuilding a little bit for the future. If Derrick Rose does decide to leave, then you've got Jimmy Butler and a nice young asset, a young potential star to start building around with maybe Bobby Portis and Doug McDermott, who is I've liked his game recently. Really liked it. I didn't know this guy could fly as high as he has been able to as of late. And even if you're not moving in to get a small forward upgrade, talks have been Harrison Barnes, who is restricted next year to the Bulls. They're going to offer him a lot of money. You got Nicholas Batum, Chase Budinger. You got Gerald Green, Jeff Green. These are all guys that are upgrades, in my opinion, that could play the small forward position over Mike Dunleavy and really get out and run and make this a more of a Fred Hoiberg-style offense. And if you're not going small forward, you want to go shooting guard instead. That's a much deeper list of players. Aaron Aflalo, you got Kent Bazemore, Bradley Beal, who might be my favorite guy for the Bulls to go out and get this upcoming year. Evan Fournier, who is also restricted, but we've seen how he's able to put up some big numbers down there in Orlando. That's a guy that I really like a lot. PJ Harrison, nice young guy, young asset, athletic. Really can get out and run the floor. The Bulls have potential guys here to pick up and to really make not a big splash in the free agent market, because we know that's not going to happen, but they also need to look at backup point guards for Derrick Rose, because Aaron Brooks at this point in time seems to be all but done as an NBA player. The guy's really, really struggling right now to get anything done. As far as power forwards are concerned, you got Ryan Anderson coming up for a free agency. I haven't really heard much news of the Bulls going after him or really any power forwards this upcoming year as far as free agents are concerned, but you never know. There's not really a whole lot there to upgrade, I guess, looking at the list here of power forwards over Taj Gibson and as far as guys I'd rather see. I mean, Ryan Anderson might be the best guy available power forward-wise. Jared Solinger, wouldn't mind seeing him in a Bulls uniform. Dwight Powell is no slouch himself. And Monta Junius, we know that guy down in Houston can definitely put up shots and spread the floor. It's not like the Bulls have – it's not a big free agency market in which the Bulls are going to be able to make a all-star, superstar splash. I mean, yes, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, they're not coming to Chicago. They're free agents this year, but it's just not going to happen. So nobody's even discussing that. And we're here, it's March. We're not even discussing how the decision 2016 and what's going to happen with those guys. So the Bulls are really stuck right now, but the good thing is they have money to throw around, but all teams do this upcoming year. So hopefully Gar, Foreman, John Paxson are sitting in their offices right now and making a map on what they want to do this offseason. And hopefully that map is a full list of things, because I don't know if I can bear another quiet offseason in which the Bulls get a second, third tier player to be on the bench and continue to go around the same core of six players. I can't do it. I don't know how many more Bulls fans can do it. What this front office has done is completely turned this organization around with the Derrick Rose pick, that they got lucky on getting that draft pick. After that, you know, him turning into a superstar, was able to bring in a couple guys and nobody of real significant talent. Besides, I guess you could say Carlos Boozer, Pau Gasol. I mean, those are the two big free agent acquisitions. Look at all the movement that's been around the NBA since Derrick Rose has come in the league. And the Bulls haven't been able to land a single one of them. Everything that they have done has been done through the draft, and it was done through the draft up until Jimmy Butler. Since then, it's been kind of a bust. You can make a strong case, I guess, that Bobby Portis is very new to the league. Obviously, he's a rookie still, and what's he going to be able to do? Doug McDermott looks like he's starting to come around. He's starting to get more comfortable. He's obviously needed that confidence to come back, because he had zero confidence coming into this season. So everything the Bulls have done has been through the draft. And I just think that that's where they are comfortable with making changes, and they are comfortable with building this organization around that. But when you have guys like Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose that are ready to go now, to the backcourt that you have been waiting for, when they're ready to go now, and you have maybe one more year of Derrick Rose basketball in Chicago, some of you might be breathing a fresh breath of air thinking that possibility. But what I do not want to see that with what Derrick Rose has been doing this second half, and I guarantee you it's going to be even better next year as long as this guy can stay on the court. His approach this year has been very frustrating for fans, but I get it. I mean, he's already played 53 games this year. That's the most games he's played since he tore his ACL. Last year, 51 games total, and the year before that was the dreaded 10. He's on track this year to hit 68 games. He wanted to play 70. You can bitch and gripe and moan all you want that Derrick Rose is soft and he's sitting these games out for tendonitis purposes, when you've got guys like Jimmy Butler out with a real knee injury. Pau Gasol is playing on one foot right now. But for a guy that has gone through what he has gone through, for anybody to be frustrated, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating to not hear anything about it, and then he's warming up, and then all of a sudden, dude's out for the game or two or three games. But I'd much rather the two or three games to be out than out for the remainder of the year and the playoffs, if they do make the playoffs and they have a potential to make a nice push into the playoffs. And I definitely don't want him going into the offseason having to recover again and having to take his time coming back and go through this process all over again. The process is almost done. The Derrick Rose mindset and process of how I'm going to come back from this, how am I going to be a better the player that I was before, it's almost done, and it will be done at the end of this year. And I think coming into next year, we will see the Derrick Rose that we've seen this second half since the All-Star break, but better. Now, since the All-Star break, this guy has got 21 points a game. He averaged 15 before. He had 5.6 assists per game, up from 4.8. The rebounds have been the same, 3.5, but the field goal percentage and the three-point shooting has been a tremendous, tremendous increase. He was shooting 40% from the before the break from field goal and 25% from three. He's now shooting 53% on field goals and 47% from three since the All-Star break. That's eight games. That's a small sample size. That's a small sample size, I know, of just 8 games, when the 45 games he played before that were mediocre at best. But what we are seeing is a different mindset, Derrick Rose, a more attacking Derrick Rose. He's now almost averaging 4 free throw attempts per game, and which before the All-Star break was at 2.8. So he's going to the basket. He's attacking more. He's got a lot more strength when going to the basket with his ability to finish. You saw a lot of times at the beginning of the year, he was coming up short on layups, floaters, runners, up and unders. You just didn't see that lift. When he would go to the basket, he looked like an old man jumping. And I saw a lot of comments about that. Can this guy even slap the backboard on a layup? Well, hell yeah, he can. We're seeing a different Derrick Rose. And it's been because of, I think, the process that he has set for himself. You want a guy to come back from everything he's come back from, nobody's going to be able to tell him how to do that process except for him, because he has to be okay with it in his own mind to be able to play the style of basketball that he wants to play. And so I support what he's been doing this year. Although frustrating, yes, I still support it. I still think in the long run, the Bulls will be better for it. And so it brings me back to the point where if you have a guy like Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler who are playing all-star caliber basketball, because they both are, this Bulls team has 3 all-stars on it with Pau Gasol, even though he only got on the all-star team because of Jimmy Butler and his injury and dropping out of it, but you still have 3 all-star caliber players on this roster. 2 will be remaining for sure after this season. You can't rebuild through the draft with that. You need to bring in more of ready-to-go NBA players that you know what you're getting from those guys, instead of it being a crapshoot of, oh, this guy was really good over at Kentucky. This is a really good player over at West Virginia or North Carolina or at Duke or wherever. God forbid it's New Mexico again. But you can't just hope that these guys are going to be good, then they come in here and then they have a Doug McDermott type year their first season and they're lost and they're not ready for the NBA, and that's another lost year for that backcourt of Rose and Jimmy, and we can't afford that as Bulls fans in this era of Bulls basketball. You need to continue to progress and move forward while building for the future. I understand, but they're building for the future and they're not progressing and moving forward. They're staying pat. They're standing still, and they are actually, in my opinion, getting worse. You can blame that on injury. You can blame that on front office, on coaching, on players not buying into the coach's system or whatever. But the one thing that's not lying to me, or the one thing that's not confusing, is that they're not getting better. And that's what every team around them is doing right now, is they're getting better. Ever since they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, the Bulls have not gotten better. And yes, I know why. We all know why. But the fact that this year right here, they had a prime opportunity, this trade deadline, to get better, and they didn't, was very confusing. It was like they were okay with being mediocre. They're okay with missing the playoffs because they want to get a better draft pick. And if that's their mindset, fine. That's fine. Just please don't make the playoffs so that you can do that. So take away all the injuries. Take away all the I don't listen to my coach. And where are the Bulls at with when Gar Forman talked this on the day that Fred Hoiberg was hired? He talked about offensive production increasing, pace, getting this team to be a team of scorers, pushing the needle. They're not any better than they were last year offensively. 101 points per game on average last year. They're giving up 102 points per game. That's 16th in the league defensively for points per game given up. Last year, they were at 97.1 points per game given up. Good for 4th in the league. So yeah, they were scoring 100 points, but they were also giving up only 97. They're scoring 101 points this year, but they're giving up 102. That there, 101 points per game, giving up 102, that's why you're 32-32. You're 26th in offensive efficiency. 26th. The 4 teams behind the Bulls, brace yourselves. Brooklyn, Phoenix, Lakers, Philly. That's it. The Bulls are in the bottom five in the NBA in offensive efficiency. You brought in a coach that was an offensive genius to run offensive plays, to get this team into be scores. And the players, yes, they aren't listening. They're undermining him because of what happened to Tom Thibodeau last year with the front office and how they didn't support their coach. So the players don't feel like the front office supports coaching, that they support the players, and they're going to do whatever they want to do, and they're going to get away with it. I'm not here to judge Fred Hoiberg as a whole because I don't think Fred Hoiberg is a horrible coach. I think he was given a roster that didn't fit his system and also a roster with a lot of issues interior-wise that he had no idea about. And for anybody that would question the Bulls not having any issues inside that locker room last year, fast forward to this year and see the look on Fred Hoiberg's face with the "what the fuck did I get myself into" look every single game. The dude looks miserable. There are things going on in the locker room. It's not being talked about as much this year, partly because I don't think that a lot of people were grasping it. But it's apparent to me that there's something, whether it's the Jimmy Derrick Rose riff, which, sure, I think that was something last year. It may not have been as big of a thing as we all thought. Not all players get along with each other until we saw that last game where it was quite obvious that Derek's like, "All right, big boy, you want the rock? Take it. Win the game for us, Jimmy." And this year, Jimmy's done that. He's taken the rock and won. I feel, in my opinion, that relationship has been mended a little bit. I think that they had to, at least on the court, do that. But there's been talks that it's split with Joakim and Derek and Jimmy and Powell, and there's two sides in that locker room. And Fred needs to take it by the balls and figure out a way to bring it all together, or this isn't going to work for him. This isn't going to work for quite a few years because they're going to have to retool to fit his needs and his roster, and it's not going to happen next year, I don't think, because of the fact that this was a lost year because of injury. So the Bulls, and I don't know if it's better to miss the playoffs and get a better draft pick, or if it's to make the playoffs and try to just be as good as they can and go to the Eastern Conference Finals and this team come together as a group and realize that they need each other and that they will win games with each other playing at their best and as a team, and that turns it around themselves and the problem fixes itself and they go into the offseason thinking, "Hey, let's do this thing for real this year." And then they come back and they bring everyone back, even Pau Gasol, even Taj Gibson, and we see a whole different group. I don't think that's going to happen, but hey, who am I to say what will and won't happen? I'm just here giving out my opinion. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Bull Zone. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming out. I know it's been a long time. I apologize. A lot of that is me. I've been out of town every weekend and coaching soccer practice 3 days a week for beginning of December, I believe. So I've been exhausted. I've been worn down, and that's the furthest thing from my mind, unfortunately, was recording a podcast. I have a couple weeks off right now to be able to drop this down to you. Actually, I have a couple days off, I can say. I will give everyone an update, whether you care or not. Our all-star team, a group of 9 and 10-year-old girls, have won our regionals out here in California, and we are on our way to the West Coast Western States Championship, I believe they call it, where there are 4 teams between Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Alaska. I don't know how much soccer they play up there, but Alaska is included in that. There are 4 teams that come out of that whole entire grouping to play in a Final Four tournament down in Arizona. So we are one of those 4 teams. So all the hard work, the non-podcasting has paid off. Thank you for being patient. We will see what this upcoming weekend holds for us. And I guess wish us luck. We'll be back on schedule here very soon with the Bull Zone and the podcast. It hasn't been so much because of the bad play from the Bulls. That doesn't help when we want to get – Will and I want to talk and get motivated after a long day of work, like throughout the work week. Doesn't help that that they're losing games. But I think the majority of it was communication with scheduling, and hopefully that's fixed. So thank you for tuning into the Bull Zone. Check us out on Twitter at the Bull Zone, Facebook at Chicago Bull Zone, and our website at shybullzone.com. And as always, thanks for tuning into the Bull Zone. We're all Bulls and no bullshit.